But up next, and as you know, China has been in the news in the last few days, particularly because of the situation with the Olympics and Tibet. But, of course, you already know that China is the most populated nation on the planet. You already know about their rapid growth when it comes to the Internet and some of the recent development of its technologies. But the author of my next interview, the author of a brand new book titled Silicon Dragon, How China is Winning the Tech Race, is Rebecca Fannin. She's a journalist, and she argues in this book that China will in fact emerge as the world's center of innovation, supplanting the folks at Silicon Valley. Rebecca, good of you to join us. Thank you so much for taking the time to do so.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Tell me how you, why you decided to write this book, and give us a quick overview of it, if you would.
Sure. I decided to write the book because I was witnessing the trend as a reporter, as a journalist, covering Asia and covering technology trends and covering innovation and entrepreneurship. Prior to my current post at the Asian Venture Capital Journal in Hong Kong, I was the international editor at Red Herring, which was the Bible of the industry and during the dot-com era. So I was seeing these parallels of Silicon Valley now happening in China as a journalist. So I decided to write the book and tell the story of these Chinese entrepreneurs that I met and interviewed. I saw the progression of these Chinese entrepreneurs from copycats, taking business models that had worked in the U.S. and transplanting them over to China, and then moving to the next level of actually designing their own things and many times designing them ahead of the West. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wrote the book.
Have you, I gather, traveled extensively through China?
Yes. Actually, in my current passport, I just counted up the number of visas I have from China, and it's 8. So I've traveled extensively in China, many trips, lengthy trips. In fact, I just got back today from over there. So I have traveled to Shanghai, Beijing, Shenzhen, Hangzhou, Nanchang, Wuxi, and beyond in doing interviews for the book.
We mentioned off the top that, of course, folks know that China is the most populated nation on the planet. But some of the statistics that you talk about in the book are really quite staggering. For example, that and specifically to technology, they are the world's largest number. They have the world's largest number of mobile phones, mobile phone users, some 500 million users. They have three times as many engineering students as the U.S., a dozen more billion-dollar tech firms than the United States. That really is surprising.
Yeah. But those trends all add up to a shift in where innovation is coming in these areas. Another one is that China also has this world's second largest number of Internet users. And I think the latest statistics are that it just surpassed the U.S. in terms of Internet users. So China has a very switched-on, very mobile generation, a young generation. People are just always online. They're very much ahead of us in instant messaging and in games and in all kinds of mobile applications, even selling financial goods over the phone. And they live and breathe by mobile communications. It's much more advanced than what we have here in the West.
As I mentioned, you argue that that China, of course, is winning, very slowly winning the tech race. Interesting, though, as you read through your book, particularly some of the more successful companies in China seem to have adopted some of the American business models.
Right. These are the early innovators coming, or the early entrepreneurs coming out of China. What they did mostly is they took Western models and transplanted them over to China. These are people who were born in China but came to the West and to get their education from places like Stanford, like MIT, like Berkeley, like I'm sure some Canadian schools as well. And they got their education in the West. They picked up experience in the West and were here during the dot-com boom. So in about 1999, they began returning to China to set up their own businesses in China that were copies of Google, copies of Yahoo, copies of Amazon, and other look-alike models like that. So those were the early, that was the first generation. There were many successes among that first generation. For instance, Baidu went public to a spectacular IPO on NASDAQ, and the company at one point was worth as much as a $10 billion market valuation. So these are home runs coming from these Chinese startups. The new wave that I'm seeing now are from homegrown entrepreneurs, people who grew up in China, who never lived outside of China, never got their education outside of China. They're totally homegrown, and they set up businesses in China that take advantage of some of these areas where China has leapfrogged ahead of the West.
You're listening to KW Magazine on FM 98.5 CKWR. Rebecca Fannin is our guest. She is the author of Silicon Dragon, How China is Winning the Tech Race. The book is published by McGraw-Hill. For a long time, China, at least in North America, has been viewed as a country that, quite frankly, takes an idea and copies it. Where are you beginning to see that, in fact, they are moving away from having that reputation of a country that develops and adapts ideas to being the ones who actually come up with the ideas and innovate them?
Right. Well, I've seen this through my interviews with the Chinese entrepreneurs who are innovating in areas of biotech and in pharmaceutical and in outsourcing and in clean tech and in many areas. One area that's a big focus now is in new light energy sources that are much more energy efficient, such as LEDs. There's a big push behind that. There are even companies who have come up with new automotive transmission systems, companies that have new mobile phone platforms, companies that have figured out how to distribute software in a different way to small and medium-sized businesses. There are all kinds of innovations that I'm writing about as a journalist every day and that I cover in the book.
What, in your opinion, are the real barriers that, in fact, could hold back some of this growth, and particularly as it relates to innovation in China's quest for tech supremacy?
Well, I think intellectual property protection is one issue. As China moves from a low-cost manufacturing destination to a place where new ideas are being invented, that it will be in China's own interest to protect its intellectual property. So this is one of those areas, one of those hurdles that is changing, and it's changing rapidly. Another area is the whole legal infrastructure and the financial infrastructure needs to develop in China for to have a real entrepreneurial kind of environment, ecosystem. In China right now, the Chinese are very innate entrepreneurs, but they need to have this financial and legal system that we are accustomed to here in the West to fully mature.
What about potential government involvement, whether it be from the perspective of controls or even censorship, for that matter?
Well, it is an issue, some of the companies that I write about have had their sites taken down by the Chinese government, at least temporarily, for running some content that was less than desirable. And so it is an issue if you're in certain sectors, if you're in the content business. Like this one site I'm talking about is a video sharing site like YouTube. And it has user-generated content on it. And while they, YouTube and this Chinese counterpart do monitor the content that goes on the site, sometimes things slip through. And this is a case that happened in China recently. So, so if you're in those businesses that relate to content, you do have to be aware that censorship could be an issue.
Rebecca, good of you to join us. Thank you so much. It's a fascinating subject.
Well, thank you.
All the best. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. Rebecca Fannin is the author of Silicon Dragon, How China is Winning the Tech Race.